Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Jessie Ray comes to my mind when I think of a mother's prayer for her children. Her daughter Jan had just married Norris, who was serving in the military in Germany. They crossed the Atlantic Ocean as part of their honeymoon, and they were living in a small German house. About 2 o'clock in the morning in Nashville, Tennessee time, Jessie Ray woke up with a sense of urgency, a sense of almost a panic, and she brought her urgent panic into prayer because she knew she was to pray for her daughter and her new son-in-law. She wasn't sure why, she just began to pray. She began to pray all the ways that a mother would pray for her child. Well, she didn't know the specifics, but she had a sense of the spirit that there was danger in the way across the Atlantic in another country in a different time zone. There was also danger happening for her daughter. She and her husband were in this new place, getting used to how things worked to heat the place, and they were using a wood stove, and they had fallen asleep, and they awoke, not sure why, but they woke up, and they realized that carbon monoxide of some kind had kind of taken over their small space. And the best they could is they drug each other out to the outside, kind of opened up a screen door and the glass door, and they got outside and they began to regain their consciousness. Later, as they would tell the story, that Jessie Ray had just begun to pray at the time that Jan and Norris woke up. It's a story about a connection. The kind of connection that makes sense, but it's beyond what we can fully explain in reason. But the effect is there to be seen and a promise to be claimed. The sense of how prayer can be at work in our life in dramatic ways, such as saving a life in this story with Jan and Norris, or giving regular life, just praying for daily bread. In our 25 years of a prayer ministry, the prayer room ministry, in the life of Trinity Baptist Church, there are thousands of stories of people who have been transformed through the power of prayer. And among the realities of prayer that I have discovered is that a prayer never gets outdated. Once God gets a hold of the prayer and he forms and shapes it, he's able to put it in the size of a heavenly message for earthly living, then it continues to serve its purpose. So if you've been parents praying for your children, and you can know that those prayers will have a long lifeline. There's not a short shelf lifeline for them. And you can know that if you and I are benefiting from prayers of our grandparents, if they prayed for us, I never met my dad's mother. Mamosh is what they called her. And she had prayed that Dad would become a minister, and when he went to law school, she began to pray that one of his children would. And Dad didn't tell me that story until I was in seminary. He didn't want it to control my sense of life direction. But once I went to seminary, he told me the story about Mamosh's prayer. And I'd heard about Mamosh's praying. I mean, it had saved a lot of lives, and it had helped in a lot of situations. I mean, my grandfather, Mamosh's husband, I did get to know. He was a character. He was a good man who loved life, and he was an Irish man with that glisten in his eyes and a dance in his step, and he liked to call square dances. And The First Baptist Church of Dublin, Texas, really wasn't up on square dances at that time. Matter of fact, they warned him not to call square dances. He kept calling them. And so they called the church business meeting, and he was churched. That's a light form of Catholic excommunication. It just means you can't come back until you get your life straight. And he figured he wasn't going to give up dancing, but he could still pray. And so he never made it back. But Mamosh would be there every Sunday morning with kind of a moral witness that the gospel is bigger than this. And so that's a story that was handed down to me in my life. And, you know, I always wanted to be part of the movement of the gospel and the life of the church, so they could see the big picture and not get waylaid by those little distracting preferences of a small human heart. And Dad had died from, almost had died from being run over by a truck, and Mamosh's prayer that he would go to Baylor, and before the NCAA had all their rules, and Baylor got him there as a high school senior and performed a saving surgery on his life, and he figured he better go there, because if Mamosh was praying that he was going to go there and he almost died, he better say yes before it was too late. And played football, and so I knew she had an active prayer life, and I never had met her in person, but I could feel her prayers helping to form and shape my life. When Dad passed away, he wanted his lawyer prayer furniture to be in the ministry, so he gave me all of his legal chairs and tables, and it's in your office, my office today, Mamosh's prayers. Two very simple stories that have an effect in lives, from a mother called Jessie Ray or a grandmother called Mamosh. God loves you so much that he is stirring people to pray for you. You may not know who they are, but there are people. And part of the gift of this brief story of the sermon is that God wants you to be someone who will pray for others, that you will be an answer to prayer yourself, by stepping into people's lives, both by your prayers for them and by how you enact them. So Jesus shows the connection of how prayer is basic to building strong families, strong relationships. In this story of Matthew 20 that Joe read for us, it's a story that seems to be askew. It just seems to be kind of off-center. I mean, here's an ambitious mother praying for the ambition of her two boys, and her two boys are trying to make their way in the world, and so she steps in, and she asks the power broker, Jesus, says, remember that when you come into all your power, remember who my boys are, and I'd sure like for you to put one on your right and one on your left-hand side. But she began it by an important point for all of us. It's not that she got her first prayer right. She didn't. It was off-center. But notice how Jesus connects with her. Notice how he shapes her prayer. Notice how he responds to her. Now, Jesus didn't suffer arrogant people gladly or lightly. He took arrogance straight on, particularly power brokers. He spoke straight about the call of God's justice and humility. But if somebody was genuinely trying to get it right, but they weren't on target, he came and help to show them the way. And that's what's going on with this mother. So one is, you can know you can approach. You can always approach Jesus. I mean, we know that none of us can get smart enough and cleaned up enough to get ourselves good enough to come to Jesus. We just can't. We've got to come in light of his grace and his wonder. And we come and we approach him. And sometimes we begin our prayer life saying, I don't know how to pray, Lord. I'm just going to begin praying. And when it seems like I'm getting on target, let me know that. We can kind of note in ourselves. I may pray for 10 minutes and thought, well, that did no good. And then I realized, well, it wasn't doing any good because I was just praying my own agenda. And it was like God would smile on me. And it still happens to me today. I mean, I've been at this for a while, and it still happens to me today. And God says, I'm glad you finally let go of your stuff. Now, let me have your heart so I can do something with you. Approach Jesus. He's always approachable. And don't ever be afraid to share with Christ what is most important to you. It's not that what is most important to you when you begin your prayer is actually what is most important. But he will lead you to what is most important. He's always tuning in. He's tuning in, as we see in the first verse in this story of Matthew 20, 21. It's a story about the mother. Now, who is this mother? Her name is Salome. We get that from another gospel. Matthew 20:20, if you'll show that, Salome, and then we can see that she's, her husband was Zebedee. Now we do know Zebedee; he was a fisherman, and their two boys, James and John, were fishermen in the sea. Zebedee and the fishing business with the James and John, they were doing well, and Peter and Andrew, who later would be apostles, were also in their fishing business. They kind of were very successful on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, but. Now the mother enters the story, and she kneels in the presence of Christ. That was a way of showing respect. It was a way of saying, I'm not your equal. I know that I need to come humbly to you. And so she knelt in his, and she asked for a favor of him. And Jesus didn't say, whatever you ask, you may have. Now, some foolish kings would do that, but Jesus didn't do that. He says, what do you want? And that's what God wants to know when you're approaching him. Praise and thanksgiving, confession, commitment, confusion, happiness. What do you want when you approach Jesus? Acceptance, love, togetherness, direction for your life, figuring things out, courage to do the right thing. That's where we all come just to approach Jesus, to kind of figure out what it is that we really want in life. And so 25 years ago, when we began the prayer room here in the life of Trinity Baptist Church, it was a place where people could call in or come in. People would call in from around the world or across the street and to say at 210-738-PRAY, somebody answers the telephone and they will say, how may I pray for you? That's a profound, simple commitment. How may I pray for you? Here's how Kim and Matt Till tell their story.
My first experience with the prayer room, I've always known about it, but it came when I had, my sister was ill and we started getting programs for her. She's not a member of the church, doesn't even live in Texas. And it was very moving for her. I think it was very supportive. She kept all the programs. A few months ago, my father suffered a stroke. He started getting programs as well. I know when I went to see them, on his desk was a stack of programs that members of Trinity Baptist Church had sent him, and I know it was very important to him, and that's part of the reason that we started doing the prayer room.
We've been doing the prayer room for almost a year now, and I know that Matt and I joined the prayer room because we wanted to be a part of others being blessed through the ministry, just like we have been blessed through the ministry. I think what we didn't anticipate is what a blessing it continues to be for us to serve in that way. The ability or having the privilege to intercede on someone's behalf, even someone you don't know, is such a huge way to serve our Lord.
I remember the Saturday morning where Matt called me to say, my sister's in a health crisis. Would you be praying with us? We prayed over the phone then, and then he took that prayer into the prayer room, and remarkable results came from all those prayers. And, you know, I shared last Sunday it didn't always turn out the way that we would first pray, but God will ultimately bring back a victory with any of our prayers. And so anyway, that's the story that was behind this that got them started in connecting to the prayer room. Now, they'd been familiar with it, but to step in to be firsthand intercessors. And so if we approach Jesus with our prayer, then he's going to show us an amazing journey. Then that teaches us how to talk conversationally. You know, God doesn't want to dress us up into language that's not true to who we are. I just came from Cowboy Church off the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, and you know, the language that we have and who we are is the language we use when we come to prayer to talk conversationally in the midst of a family prayer time. It can be that we don't close our eyes. The week may just speak a word of blessing and gratitude for the meal we're going to have and being together in God's love. And other times we get on our knees and we pray from the depths of our heart in long prayers. It can be a 5-second prayer, a 5-minute prayer, or a 5-hour prayer. But it's a sense about just being able to talk with God who loves you and wants the best for you. So approach Jesus, talk conversationally, and talk it out with Christ, what you're thinking and feeling. And then listen to how Christ can mold your desires into their best application. Let's say if there's a husband and wife who are having a hard time with each other, and they're really not sure what to do next, and they just come to say and pray. Said, Lord, we don't know what to do next. We just know that we need help. Would you show us what to do next? I mean, that puts a smile on God's face. All of us get in log jams of life. All of us get in a place where we're not sure what to do next. And God just wants to say, talk with me about it. And then if that's your desire, then we'll work with that. Now, the mother's desire for her boys is not one that was to be honored. But the love for her sons and wanting the best for them was to be honored. And so in verse 21, when we see that Jesus says, now, what do you want? He says, well, grant that the one of these will be honored into your kingdom. Salome, the name of the mother, had been paying attention to what was going on. And this is in the latter part of Jesus' ministry. She knew there were people who were wanting to kill Christ. We knew that Jesus was on his way up to Jerusalem, where the power brokers were going to try to do something to him, which she didn't know what, even though Jesus had told them, they're going to try to crucify me. She had really thought that he was going to establish maybe an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem, that he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and he was going to overthrow the false leaders of Israel, and that he would establish a kingdom here on earth, and she sure wanted her boys to be in on the goods. And she was listening to Jesus to know that things were going on, and we know things are going on in our world. I mean, how much we grieve what happened in South Florida. We just grieve a violence in somebody's heart that would take an assault weapon into a school and open fire on innocent people, students. I mean, you cried, and I cried when we saw the alert or got the message. Grieve. God doesn't want the world to be like that. He wants the wrong in this world to be turned right side up. He wants the evil to be answered with good. He wants the way of truth to replace the lies within the world. He wants the people of God to do the work of God within our world. And so Salome knew that the world wasn't right. She just hadn't got it right in her head about what Jesus was saying of what God's best dreams were. And so she approached Jesus, she talked with Jesus, and then now Jesus begins to take over the conversation. He turns to James and John, and he helps them to find their prayer voice. Find your prayer voice. We can teach our children to pray by listening to their prayers, and they can listen to our prayers. And prayers with words, without words. Prayers with actions, prayers that are being still. Prayers that we're walking in the woods or we're here in the sanctuary. A prayer is in its many forms of teaching children to pray. So let prayer be a way that you find your voice. You have found your voice in life. You've had to work hard to figure out who you are and what it is that your life is about. And you have to do updates with that, and that's what our voice is. But our prayer voice is that voice with God. It's our voice with God. Make sure you have found your prayer voice updated with God. And so when Jesus turned to the boys, James and John, now actually they were men. They'd been very successful businessmen. They were people that Jesus trusted. He brought them into the inner circle, and they still hadn't gotten it right, or that they had more to learn. And so Jesus says, are you going to be able to withstand what's going to come your way by serving the kingdom? You'll be able to handle it. And they said, oh, we can. Verse 22, we can. And he said, you will. Now what we know as we fast forward the story beyond this scene is that James would be the first apostle to die a martyr's death. James would be killed early in the Christian movement because of his faith in Christ. Once he had understood that this kingdom came to the world, but it wasn't controlled by this world, and he stood up for truth against lies and goodness against evil, against the way of Christ, against the false prophets. It cost him his life. He would drink of the cup. Now his brother John would be the longest living apostle. Probably the elder John, probably the guy who wrote 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, wrote the Revelation. He was in exile during his ministry on the island of Patmos, but he lived a long time. These two brothers of the story studies in contrast, one a short time, one a long time, but both of them found their prayer voice to be true that they got it right. And in getting that right, they took it forward. Fourthly, what we discover is this truth about being able to hug. Hugging friends as family, kind of do a prayer hug. Now, prayer includes us, but it's not just about us. Our prayer hug affects those who live around us. God's kingdom is big. And so what Jesus is saying to them is, you're going to understand who I really am and what prayer opens this bigness of God into our world. We're able to see so much more. And so when we're on the inn, for instance, and someone says to us what's going on in their life, and you simply say back to them, may I pray for you? I mean, may I pray for you right now? And you may feel really uncomfortable, and you might just offer a three-word prayer. Lord, be with him. Be with her. That's a beautiful prayer to pray. Or if you're on the prayer line in the prayer room, you say, how may I pray for you? And they share, and then you just lift them up in God's presence. I mean, earlier this morning, I was Norm Grimmett, who's going to have open heart surgery tomorrow at MD Anderson in Houston. We just stood right over there, and we just prayed for God, been lifting up in God's presence and work of healing power in his life, that we just pray. And so Jesus said, the Gentiles of this world, that is the people who are trying to build their ladder of success by how much they got and how many people they can control, and that's not how God sees greatness. God sees greatness by allowing the goodness of God be revealed in our life, in our daily life, and being powerful people, but powerful people in service of his love and his purpose. That's the greatness, being a servant leader within the world. So in Matthew 20:26, Jesus said to them, now, you're not going to be like that. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be a servant, first and last. To become a servant on behalf of others, there's really no way to stand taller than first on our knees on behalf of someone, and then to stand in the service and care for others. I remember there was when Dad was going through his cancer treatment, he was in the hospital, and a really bright, articulate nurse was coming in, and she had to change Dad's bedpan. And I asked her, what do you think when you do that? She says it's what needs to be done. It comes with the territory. A servant leader asks, God, what needs to be done? And if we discover that we're the one to do it, however it is measured in this world's importance and God's importance, that's what needs to be done, and if we're the ones to do it, we're to do it. And that's the sense of greatness, kind of yielding into the Lord's presence. Earlier this morning out at the Stockton Rodeo for our Living Your Best Life Rodeo. We're just outside the Cowboy Church location, and you see this photograph here, and we're there, and there, Joe Hutchison is a guest, and he's one of the lead people in the executive committee for the San Antonio Stockton Rodeo, and Gilbert Gimbler, Cowboy Church, and a member who grew up in our church, Yvonne Francis Davenport joined in, and her husband's the new CEO of the operation. All of them talked about lessons learned in life and being humbled in life and God's grace coming to them in life, and that their joy is actually giving service to the lives of others. And as people are coming in and out of the Cowboy Church, there's a sense of seeing the wonder of servanthood and the joy. I see Johnny White back there, Johnny and Pat. Yeah. Welcome to the Whites. When you got a commission 25 years ago to help begin this prayer ministry, you stepped into the dining room and said, Lord, who do you want me to ask to lead this ministry? And Pat Coventry walked in, and the Lord said, Johnny, ask her to lead that ministry. And Johnny said, Lord, I could have figured that out on my own. And the Lord said to Johnny, well, why didn't you? The Whites have been great leaders in the legacy of our church and the joy and just that kind of humility of checking in with God. What is it that you want? Checking in. That's what Matt and Kim's story gets updated in what you hear right now.
And I think the benefit not only of serving others, serving the church, doing God's work, it's a benefit to those that work in the prayer room. It's a little bit of a level set when I think, gosh, I've got all this stuff going on and I'm very busy and I can't do this and I can't do this. And you come in and you read some of these people that are struggling with real struggles, daily struggles, life struggles, work, things like that, where I kind of have to step back and say, okay, maybe mine isn't so bad. There's people out there that need us more, and there's things that we can do to help them, and this is one of the ways to do it.
Absolutely. We would love for you all to come join us in the prayer room.
Once we receive, then we seek to give, and the sense of the giving is then to work our prayers. You know, we're to pray as though our work depends on our prayers, and we're to work as though our prayers depend upon our work, the relationship of action and being in the God's presence. Prayer connects us to the service, the purpose, praying our prayers and putting them into practice. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, friends, make sure you're not praying only the same prayer every day. You may have a same prayer. I pray a similar prayer every morning before I get out of bed. But during the day, I find different ways of praying because it's a different day. Different things are going on. And God needs to update me, and He needs to update us in this world in which we live in. In 2018, God doesn't want us to be freaked out about what's happening. He wants us to be bold, courageous servant leaders, calm in the crisis because of the Christ who can control the crisis in our heart, that we may be of His service in the world. We have to check into the power, and that's where the prayer is. So if you will pray as though your work depends on your prayer and work as though your prayers depend upon your work, and the connection about servant leadership. And so Jesus said of Himself, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." That Christ came in order that we would know the power of God's presence in the world, knowing what the world would do to Him. He was not intimidated. He did not back off from Calvary, but He stepped into Calvary because that's where His prayers led Him. Do not be afraid of His lead within your life. Approach Jesus. Talk conversationally. Find your prayer voice. Give prayer hugs. And then work your prayers. Then what we see is that as with Jesus, we find the true joy comes by being God's answers to other people's prayers. Well, the prayer of a loving mother made a difference for James and John. She didn't get it right at the beginning, but Jesus kept working her prayer until it got just right. And who would be at the cross when Jesus was crucified? It would be the same woman. That at the foot of Jesus on the cross, when the kingdom looked so differently than what she had first thought, she was there saying, "I get it, I understand it. And I'm yours. I'm yours, oh Lord." Dean is kind enough to be leading us in our worship today, but I'm going to first ask if we can just pray. If Zachary can be at the piano, or if you could lead us in just for us to pray. Pray about Florida, the school, the Douglas High School, the families who are there. But pray about that hurt in your own heart that's there. Pray about a hope and a praise and a thanksgiving, something great that has happened. And pray what God is wanting to do next in your life with your prayers. Let's pray for a moment.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.